This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Saturday, March 2nd, 2019. This is Spingola Speaks, and this is Deanna Spingola. And I'm broadcasting from the chilly Chicago suburbs. I'm delighted that you have joined me today at republicbroadcasting.org. I highly recommend that you also visit and subscribe to SpingolaSpeaks.net and ScreeningSandyHook.net. I do not access my regular email address during the program, so if you have questions or comments during the program, just email those questions to comment@spingola.email. I invite you to visit our Spingola Speaks chat room at spingola.chatango.com. Again, that is Spingola.chatango, chatango.com. If you wish to read the names of the guests that I've had the pleasure of interviewing on this program, just visit spingola.com and click on the radio schedule button on the left side of the page. I also have the names of future guests, and in both cases, I have links for those guests along with relevant links to their subject matter. I began broadcasting on RBN on October 23rd, 2010. Shortly thereafter, on December 15th, 2010, I interviewed Clint Richardson after watching his outstanding video, The Corporation Nation. I interviewed him again on January 31st, 2011. Since then, we've had many great conversations, both on the air and otherwise. I consider Clint one of my true friends. My guest today is the one and only Clint Richardson. His websites are Reality Blogger with one G, realityblogger.wordpress.com and thecorporationnation.com. And he has a book, and you may download that book at strawmanstory.info. He is the producer of The Corporation Nation, Lethal Injection, The Story of Vaccination, which he produced, and it was published on September 30th, 2011. He also did the video, Kaffir School, School Districts, and the Lottery. He also did a program, Common Core, Agenda 21, and Global Privatization, which was published the end of 2013. He is a fabulous video maker. He's creative. They're pretty much perfect. And he does excellent work. Clint, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. What a generous introduction.
Well, it's true. Everything that I've said is absolutely true. And, in thinking about, the vaccine situation, and the recent news articles, and I try not to watch television, but it's kind of akin to preparing the opposing attorney's arguments. You have to know what they're saying in order to oppose what they are saying and to understand what they are doing. And I think this week I saw in the news there was somebody, can you believe, that had measles. Somebody got measles. And then there was someone else that died of the flu.
No. Nobody dies of the flu. You die of like pneumonia or something that the flu just happens to be there. But there's like 35 deaths a year from the flu, and they blame all the other deaths, the side effects of the flu, for like old people, especially, you know, people with compromised immune systems, they'll catch something else because their system is weakened already by the flu, and that's what'll kill them. But the flu very seldom is the reported cause of death. Just to be clear.
But to hear the news, one would think that if you're not vaccinated for a particular thing, even chickenpox, for goodness sake.
Well, I gotta tell you.
It's ridiculous.
So I've been pulling up. I'm doing a second. I finally decided I'm just gonna do it. You know, I was asking for help from people, but never really got it. So I just decided I'm just gonna do it like I did my other ones all by myself. And, I'm doing this second movie. It's gonna be called A Corruption of Blood. Because it certainly is about vaccines, but it's about all injectable drugs and all drugs in general. Anything that you're bypassing your body's natural defenses, and you know, it can be insulin, it can be anything. All these drugs, factor V, for instance, which is for hemophiliacs. I mean, that Bayer used that, and it spread AIDS all over the place. And then they took factor VIII, I think it was called. They took that, and because it got banned in the U.S., they sent it to Japan and China. And caused all kinds of disease there because they couldn't get a profit here because it was causing people AIDS, right? So there was all these, you know, stories like this. So I'm doing this second documentary. As I'm looking up, because you mentioned the measles, someone had put together a collection of videos from way back when, the Brady Bunch, the Flintstones, you know, way back in the day before all these vaccines, before all this hype and hyper concern. And it's so funny because the entire Brady Bunch family got measles, right? And they even say in that the measles, the one girl says, well, the measles is certainly the best disease you could get because, you know, it lasts a couple days and then it goes away and nobody ever dies from it.
Right.
Now all of a sudden it's like the plague, right? But in fact, it's much better to get the measles, like the chicken pox, get natural immunity to it, and, you know, and then you're done. You got the measles, you quarantine yourself and, for a week or so because you're shedding the disease. And by the way, if you get a vaccine, you're actually shedding the disease for 2 weeks. So these kids that are supposedly safe because they have a vaccine are actually infecting everybody else. Because they're shedding the disease that was put in their body. The body's pushing it out. So it's so funny when you understand what's actually happening. The whole thing is so comical. And especially when you see these old TV shows where measles is this completely innocuous, absolutely harmless thing that people get. Might kill a couple people because they have some other disease. But that's irrelevant to what the, you know. And then instead, you're going to inject yourself with measles, get a slight reaction, but you're still gonna be susceptible to the measles. That's what's funny about it. Because once you get the measles, you're never gonna get it again. But if you get vaccinated with it, well then, yeah, you know, you're getting this killed or almost dead virus, and it sorta has an immune reaction, but doesn't really do the trick, and so they say you gotta get revaccinated. But if you were to just get the damn measles in the first place, you'd be fine. You'd be great. Best disease you can get. Because the Brady Bunch says, and then I'll go back to school the next week. You know, that's the hilarious part about all these so-called diseases. But what do you do? What do you do? How do you make a profit? How do you possibly sell such things as a measles vaccine, right? Unless you hype it up and make it funny. I mean, to see this, Deanna, it's hilarious. And to see, like you say, these news, the sensationalism and everything, all of a sudden the measles is a deadly disease. No, I'm afraid it's not. It's like the flu. Not deadly, but if you have some other immunocompromise, then yeah, maybe. But yeah, it's just let your damn kids get the measles. It's like chicken pox. Have a chicken pox party.
Right.
Great.
Right. And then of course, when children who have the vaccine for chicken pox shed it, people, particularly older people, could come down with shingles. Right?
Exactly. Well, and it's even farther than that. When you actually find the true mechanism of action of what's happening with these slight immunoresponses. Like I said, you're not getting a full response. Your body is reacting to hundreds of chemicals that are pumped into you, including what's called adjuvants, which are purposefully like dirt, oils, salts, all the aluminums and all the mercury.
Peanut oil.
Right, peanut oil, which causes kids to get food allergies the rest of their lives. You gotta understand, all of that stuff is what your body is reacting to. The fact that you produce an antibody or two to what's in the actual disease that they're inoculating you with, right? I mean, that, and it, by the way, just to be clear, when something is innocuous, as I used the word before, that means it's harmless. When I inoculate you, that actually is the opposite of innocuous. To inoculate is to cause harm. You can look that up. That's what the word means. Inoculate is to literally cause you harm, cause you disease, cause you pain and suffering. That is what inoculate means. So the very definition of the word itself, again, it's hilarious to realize the situation we've gotten into. But the reactions, what it turns out is when you get the measles, when you get the chicken pox, when you get all of these diseases, you're actually supposed to get those. That's how you start storing these antibodies, and that's how you get immunity and herd immunity, is by getting the disease, and everybody getting the disease, then once you get the measles, no one's gonna get it in your clan anymore, right? In your neighborhood. Until someone else moves in that hasn't had it or whatever. The problem is, hey, it's what the chicken pox do, what the measles does, when you get the full blown thing and you express all the symptoms, that's changing your epigenome. Right? You have your genome, your genes, and then you have the epigenome, which is like little on and off switches, like ones and zeros on a computer. Turns certain expressions of things on and off. And it turns out when you find the research, which I did, you have a 2,000% higher chance of cancer, of getting cancer, if you got the vaccine, because your body will then express the disease, it'll express the disease, but not necessarily the symptoms. And those red marks, the rashes, the things that happen with the full-blown disease is actually a good thing, because that is actually what's rewriting your genome. It's actually programming your genes and programming your immune system and storing antibody information. It's all about information, right? It's actually storing that information in your appendix. That appendix is like this big storage space of all the diseases that you're immune to and all the diseases your body has come into. And of course, they're taking out people's appendix. Right? Say it's worthless.
Right.
Right. So
you wouldn't have been born with tonsils or an appendix if they weren't necessary for some reason.
Oh yeah. I mean, think about it. Yeah. So yeah, if you get a vaccine, you express the disease, but not the symptoms. You got the disease, you had an immune response, but it didn't switch on and off the epigenomic, switches, the little, you'd have to look it up to see how it actually works. But, you know, the point is, all these studies came out that say you are far more likely to express cancer because your epigenome hasn't been fully programmed. So there's some things that are still off that aren't on and vice versa. And that alone blew my mind, because now you understand this is all part of the immune system, all part of the communication network. You know, all cells have receptors and they communicate to with other cells and the proteins and all the, you know, interferon, all these different things. And man, I got to tell you, as I'm reading these studies, I'm on PubMed. And
right.
I mean, if you read some of these studies, it's obvious that their whole goal is to completely break down any immune response so that they can control it. And also you start to see that every study has to do with some kind of artificial environment to grow things. In other words, artificial life or synthetic life, synthetic environments, to the point where that, you know, what used to be absolutely immoral, absolutely unheard of, absolutely unacceptable is now tolerated. You got stem cell research. I can go around the corner and get stem cell treatment, right? And of course, stem cells are the very root of cancer because a stem cell can grow into anything. That's why you have the incorrect, you know, you have lung cancer, but it's actually pancreas cells growing in your lung, right? You can look up the term cancerous stem. You can look up cancerous stem cell just on Wikipedia. And all the studies I'm seeing, they say, yep, there's a mutated stem cell. And if you think about what a stem cell does, it grows. It grows and grows and grows. It's like uncontrollable growth would be cancer, right? So that's what's happening. It's growth without purpose. And that's what they've done. They've created monsters inside our bodies by injecting us with all these different things that cause our own body to start expressing all these things, all this growth and all these cancers and all these things. And I tell you, my end result, my end opinion on all this after so many years of study is that all modern disease from dementia to everything is pharmaceutical. It's there is no doubt in my mind. And this is something I plan on expressing, you know, fully and with primary source in this next documentary, because I it's amazing when you see what's actually happening. What these studies are showing are the most frightening, immoral, unnatural thing you can possibly do. And that's important because then they can patent it. You can't patent anything in nature. But I mean, they're going to change this all enough to where that we're going to be patented. That's the scary part.
I know this sounds, I actually believe, given the amount of money that Big Pharma is making, and recently posted websites where you could check just how much they are grossing. They are the number one industry in the country, it appears, and I honestly think that. That given all the things that you've brought up, that when the U.S. military invades a country, it is not to just take over resources, but it's also to impose a healthcare system in that country, because our bodies are the last thing that we could possibly give up. They're private property, and they belong to us. And so I really believe that. And, well, and certainly the healthcare system in this country has killed more people than just about anything else. You're more likely to die in a hospital than you are to get shot by somebody with a gun. You're 9,000 times more likely to die because of a healthcare issue than be shot by a gun.
Yeah, officially the numbers is they list iatrogenic death,
right,
which is doctor or medicine related, specifically drug, you know, pharmaceutical related.
Right.
Well, I mean, this all goes together, obviously. That's number three. That's the number three cause of death in the world, followed. It follows cancer and heart attack or pulmonary, you know, which are also caused by these drugs and these vaccines. I mean, if you watch any of these drug commercials on TV, they're going to tell you may cause cholesterol, may cause heart attack, may cause high blood pressure, low blood pressure. You know, you pretty much always have a choice between constipation and diarrhea. There's never anything in between. That's always a side effect, right? So
right.
It's hilarious to watch some of these things. But, yeah, that's the official. I mean, that is in from the American, the JAMA, the Journal of American Medicine, whatever it is. You know, that is the official thing. And you try to tell that to a doctor, they will deny it. They will absolutely say that's not true. That is not true. I believe in vaccines. I believe in drugs. I believe in this. I believe it's a faith-based thing. Now, why is the doctor such an important element? Why last time I was on your show, we talked about, you know, doctors advertising cigarettes and alcohol.
Oh, right.
Cocaine and every, you know, methamphetamines and everything. They're the trusted figure. They cause the agentic relationship. They cause you to love their authority.
Right. All righty. We will be back in 3 minutes. Stay with us, and we'll be right back.
Starts with you and me. It starts with you and me. We all can be heroes if we take the lead to change the bad to good, to live in harmony. It starts with you and me.
All righty, let's welcome back Clint Richardson, and his websites are realityblogger.wordpress.com, thecorporationnation.com, and to download his most recent book, strawmanstory.info. And we're talking about, we're talking about drugs. And, I just posted the GDP, in the chat room since 1960, and you can see how U.S. health care as a percentage of the GDP has grown since 1960. All righty. We were talking about, we want to talk about prescriptions, and we also mentioned, television. And when you close your eyes and you don't look at the commercial that they're talking about, a drug, and just listen to what they say, it's appalling. But when you realize that 75% of the people learn visually easier, then you realize that they are just taking in what they see. These wonderful pickles, happy people who swim better, bowl better, do everything better because they've taken this drug. But you don't hear what they're telling you in the background that you could die, you could get a heart attack, you could do all these really negative things that could happen to you if you take this drug. They know what they're doing. They're very
clever. It's also illegal. It's a disclosure. Like,
right.
you know, the vaccine industry, you can't sue. They're protected. They're a protected industry. And that tells you how profitable, you know, it's ridiculous. And all of this, you know, if I take this drug, I'll be like a purple bouncing ball. Right?
Right.
What's that even mean? I mean, some of the images have nothing to do with anything. In fact, I would say all of them have nothing to do with anything relevant to the actual drug. But what's so important about those is, one, they're a disclosure. In every single commercial, you know, a lot of people, again, you don't notice what's being written underneath either.
Right.
All the small print. And every single one of those says CR in blank. CRF in our ad in Golf Digest. CR ad in Red Book. CR ad in Home and Garden. And that's very important because this is a partial disclosure. A lot of them will say these aren't all the side effects. You know, and then it'll say CR ad here. Because they're trying to establish a sense of disclosure to where you have no excuse. If you get one of these side effects that they're telling you you're probably going to get, that's your fault. I mean, they've told you. They're off the hook. And this is why they all say the same thing. This has not been tested in pregnant women. This has not been tested for carcinogenesis. In other words, they cannot say one way or the other whether it causes cancer. Well, that's a way of saying it causes cancer, but we can't prove or disprove it. You know, they're warning you, they're giving you notice, they're giving you a disclosure, and you're accepting it, because even though that commercial is completely, rigged, it's only part of the information. They're giving you a link. They're telling you where to look for the full information. If you choose not to look, hey, ignorance of the law, no excuse.
Right.
No excuse. So that's your fault. And that's how the courts will see it. And that's why nobody can sue, essentially, because they're disclosing it. They're, you know, this is like a heroin dealer saying, you know, this is black tar heroin. It's very well could kill you, you know.
Right. It is a public announcement, and everybody has been notified. So
right.
If you get sick, too bad. You've been notified.
And it's important to know these drugs are all illegal. They are against the law. And that is where the power of prescription comes in. What does it mean to have that power? That is the highest power you can have. People don't realize this. Well, I want some Viagra, so I'm going to get a prescription. Well, you can't get it without the prescription unless you do it illegally, right? How powerful is it? If I prescribe you something, I'm allowing you to use it against the law. I'm giving you permission, license, right? And who has that power? Only government. And even government doesn't have the power that doctors have. Only doctors have them. And that's why doctors are such targets. That's why the ignorance and arrogance of doctors are such a beautiful thing to these pharmaceutical companies, because they don't learn anything about health. They don't know how the human body works. They're compartmentalized. They specialize in one thing, and while they do that one thing very well, they have no business prescribing drugs, because they don't know anything about the drugs they're prescribing, only what the pharmaceutical companies tell you, which is the same thing they tell you on the frickin' commercials. Nothing. They don't tell you anything.
Right. Speaking of Viagra, one of my listeners asked me, how do drug companies come up with these names? And if you'll notice, Viagra rhymes with Niagara. And so what kind of a vision would a guy get with Viagra, which rhymes with Niagara? Okay, we will be right back.
Starts with you and me. It starts with you and me. We all can be heroes if we take the lead.
Alrighty, welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest is Clint Richardson. Okay, talk to us about prescriptions. I interrupted your train of thought, but tell us about that. Give us a little bit more information about that.
So prescription, or the right to prescribe, is actually, you could call it a sovereign right. It literally means to direct or to give law, to influence someone arbitrarily. Now, what does it mean to do something arbitrarily? By will, despotically, absolutely, right? So doctors, you know, have the power of prescription. That's the highest order of power you can have. When you claim, for instance, in real estate, in law, when you claim a title, that's a prescription, because you're claiming it by, use. You've used something for a long time, some property, and therefore you claim it not because you have legal, you know, title to it, but because of use. You've used it for so long. So sort of like a right of way or something. That's the power of prescription. And really, so what I'm really saying is that's the power to give remedy. And that's what government has in all affairs except this. In medical, or what we call medical, the doctor has that power. The doctor is more powerful than any position in government with regards to this particular notion of prescription. And that's why, again, he's such a target for advertising and for, you know, they wine and dine him and they get him to sell the patented ones instead of the generic ones, because the patented ones are where they make the money, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So, I mean, if you think about that kind of power, that's the kind of power a judge has to give you remedy over, you know, if you're suing somebody, that's the same power. That is prescription. I prescribe you a remedy from one person to the other. That is the ultimate power. If you have that power, you are literally at the top of the food chain when it comes to authority. So that's the power we've given to these people, you know, and they always show up in their white lab coat with their stethoscope, even though they never use the stethoscope.
You're right. I was wondering about that.
Right. You have to have that for the advertising, because that stethoscope, that makes you a doctor right there.
Right.
So yeah. And you know, that I can't stress enough how much power the power of prescription is, because remember, these drug companies can't do anything. The drugs are illegal. They're poisons, literally, and they can't do anything with those poisons unless a doctor prescribes them. And that's called medicine. That's called remedy for disease, right? That's how important prescription is, and it should be something that is controlled, but it's absolutely out of control at this point. Like, you know, doctors prescribing marijuana. doctors used to prescribe cocaine and beer and cigarettes. You know, it's just amazing.
And smoking.
Right. So you're talking about a power that is so abused, and none of this would be happening except for the fact that doctors have that power. And it, personally, I think there should be an authority figure, a neutral authority figure above doctors that actually approves their prescriptions, because, you know, that actually does, knows what are you prescribing, what are going to be the side effects. At least a counselor that say, hey, have you seen this drug commercial? You really want to take that? Here's what's going to happen. You know, that, because this power is so abused by doctors who know nothing about health, know nothing about anything but what they're compartmentalized. And that's, you know, that's as dangerous as a municipal judge having that power, who are often own the court that they sit in because it's a corporation. It's an administrative thing. It's not even lawful, right? We agree to it. So it happens. The fraud happens, but it's such an incredible power that it's hard to even put into concepts. But the most important part of it is that none of this would be happening. All of this depends on doctors. And that's why they're like the plug, you know, if we could educate doctors, I mean, for God's sake, how do you educate a god, right? How do you educate someone who thinks they know everything and who refuses to look at any kind of study that shows that doctors are really the number one killer, but it says number three, and that's because of the drugs they're prescribing. It's, I mean, if you're gonna cast fault, you could cast fault on pharmaceutical companies. You could cast fault, but the real final word is the prescriber. And that's not government, that's doctors.
But if they don't abide by the standard of care, which is designed by the pharmaceutical companies, the insurance companies, the American Medical Association, which is the labor union for doctors, and by the hospitals, they could lose their license. So they have an investment, their educational investment, and they have a certain lifestyle that they've been accustomed to living, so they're going to go along with that.
They're no different than, say, a professional football player or coach. Why do they get such big money to play a frickin' game? Because when they need them to, they will fumble the ball. We know boxing is fixed. You should know that all sports are fixed if they're in the sports book at the casinos. If there's a betting industry on it, you bet it's fixed. Not necessarily to win or lose the game, but to make up that point spread. So that's why these guys are paid so much. They keep the secrets. They are literally the ones that allow the betting industry to call up the coaches and say, hey, we got to cover this point spread. Right?
Wow.
I mean, that's how it works. You know, that's people have written about this. It's obvious, but of course you don't want to see it because you don't know why people love sports, but they, you know, you love watching a sports game where they play for 2 seconds and then there's 2 minutes of nothingness and then they play for 2 seconds and there's 2 minutes of, you know, all this entertainment. It's really ridiculous when you look at it and you understand that it's all fixed. Everything's fixed. You know, it's all prescribed, in other words.
Wow.
That's why they make so much money.
And of course, they've militarized sports so much by the introductory music and the uniforms and all the rest. It's really amazing. But you know, getting back to our vaccines that people get. For each vaccine that a person gets, and sometimes they receive multiple vaccines in one injection, the patient or the patient's parent pays 75 cents per vaccine, which goes to pay for if there is damages, vaccine damages. And they happen to be awarded via a certain court, the vaccine court, some damages for long-term damage to the patient, then the government and the manufacturer don't pay anything. It's the patient themselves or their parents that actually pay the 75 cents that ultimately reimburses them for damages. So as you said before, the manufacturer of the vaccines don't pay anything. They're scot-free. They can continue to manufacture their vaccines without any liability issue.
Or without actually showing any studies that show they work, or by hiding or obfuscating 9 out of 10 of their studies and putting one out that barely passes because it's a study that doesn't really show the truth, you know, the actual results of the study. So, I mean, it's all a for-profit model. And, it, you know, everybody knows everybody should know the whining and dining that goes on with congressmen. And we should also understand, you know, through my CAFR research, you know, all you have to do is look at a pension fund, and you'll see all these pharmaceutical companies, all the medical companies, the hospitals, everything having to do with this industry is a stock held company, and that stock is held by government. So it's in government's best interest, literally financial interest, to protect protect anything it's invested in, which, you know, if there's an oil spill, it's not going to make the oil company clean it up because it's got $1 trillion in, you know, in stock.
Right.
It's literally the owner of these corporations. So there is no distinction now between government and corporations. The government owns all corporations through stock investment and then has the power of proxy shareholder voters, owners of the corporation through stock investment. So there is no separation of these things. And of course, all corporations, you know, exist through government, not external from government. You can't become a corporation, a person in law, without going through government. So, you know, they're all under the government law. They have no independence whatsoever. They're strictly under this law, but the law protects them. The law protects persons, corporations, which is why, of course, you're not supposed to respect persons or flattering titles, but that's what we do. And that's why we're in this mess.
And of course, you talk about government. We can talk about the 535 people, who make these decisions supposedly on behalf of the rest of us. They see more lobbyists from pharmaceutical companies than any other entity. These pharmaceutical companies put a lot of money into the pockets of the so-called representatives. And so, of course, they are going to protect their source of extra income. And go ahead.
After years and years of trying to really put a definition to what government in general, especially this kind of government that we have, which we call, you know, representative, etc., you know, To finally put a term that actually describes what government is, it took me all this time to really figure it out. And the true nature of what government is, you know, you can call it despotism, you can call it absolute control, but what it really is controlled opposition. Right? Because there is no opposition. Every opposition to government is from someone that's subject to government, so there really is no opposition. You have the left, the right, the Republicans, the Democrats, the pro, the anti, and then you have the very, very definition of controlled opposition, which is Congress. Okay? And then you have the judicial, which gives you the winning and losing opinion, right? And that's a controlled opposition. Well, it's 4-5 in favor, and here's the dissenting, you know, opposition, right. So everything, the opposition is controlled. That doesn't at all mean that it's silenced, because the opposition is all out there for you. You can see it for yourself, but it's controlled. It's put into a place as being the dissenting or losing opinion, right? So you have all of that. And then you have the executive, and the executive is there, like the sheriff is your executive, the governor is an executive, the president, the executive office of the federal government, that's your executive office, right? That's there to ensure that, hey, if things get out of hand and the opposition really actually, you know, we, in other words, actually get out of hand, or some other country out there, well, then the executive steps in, declares an emergency, like the Civil War, for instance, and beats the crap out of us. And then all of a sudden, you know, so it's controlling the opposition through force. It doesn't need to do that for the most part because it controls all other opposition, all other media outlets. It controls every aspect of opposition. And that, I think, is the very definition of what government is, what it's become maybe, but that's what it is. And I would probably put that on, you know, you could take that to the dictator level. You could take that to the crown. You could take that to the religions, the Vatican, right? You could take it to all of these different governmental structures, ecclesiastical or secular, and that's basically what you're talking about. Control of opposition or control of opinion, control of information, control, right? It's all there, but it's absolutely the example is when these pharmaceutical companies do show up and they testify. And then you have some brave whistleblower who, right, loses all funding and acceptance in the medical industry who also testifies and tells the truth. And of course, you know, if you go to a city council meeting, same thing, right? You could testify, you could say anything you want, you can point out the criminal activity of these guys and have proof of it, and they don't give a crap because they know it doesn't matter. They're the ones with the power of prescription, remedy. If they don't want to give you a remedy, they don't have to. And that's where we're at. They control the opposition. That's why they have public hearings, because they want you to show opposition, because then they can show that they've made a choice between what is in their opinion, quote unquote, good and bad or whatever. So that's all we're talking about here is the control of opposition. What else can you call a nation? What is a war? A war is, of course, to defeat and control the opposition. When we go into these other countries, like you said, what are we doing? We're getting rid of opposition. We want you to have capitalism. We're going to save you with democracy and capitalism, two of the worst things you could possibly force on a people. Because it's of course dead, right?
Right.
So I mean that's really what we're talking about when it comes to what is government, what is the control of the mind? Government, it's controlling any opposition to your power of prescription, your power of authority. Really, isn't that the self-evident description of what you see happening on a daily basis?
It is, and it's really unfortunate. And you mentioned earlier in the program about looking like an authority figure, being an authority. And when people, the general public, they actually think that the FDA is protecting protecting them against harm. And all of the ABC agencies were created to protect corporations.
Right. Well, I mean, don't be confused. It is. It's protecting persons.
Right.
So corporation is a person just like you and me.
Right. And that is in the amendment. What amendment was, is that? 14th? I don't
well,
remember.
I mean, I can clear everything up for you if you want. It'll take me about 10 minutes to go through this information, and you will understand what is the difference between you and the other people, the people in the Constitution, the states. You understand where you are, what your status is, and why all these things apply to you, because you're the lower, you're considered the bourgeoisie, the middle class, the lower class. You are a slave, essentially. And I'll explain.
Right. Alrighty. We'll be right back in 3 minutes. Richardson, and I'm posting some notes that he Skyped over in the chat room so that you can follow along with the discussion regarding what he's going to tell us. We've got just a little bit of time in the first hour, but we will continue this discussion into the second hour. So anyway, go ahead.
Well, stop your chatting. excuse me, I know this is why I don't go to chat rooms, because everybody talks about everything but what's being talked about. But for this moment, stop your chatting. Stop talking about inconsequential things and pay attention to this, because this is not my opinion. This is coming from official sources that I've documented. You can look up these cases for yourself. You can read the whole things. I'm only going to mention the, because this is like a puzzle. You want to know what your problem is. You want to know why everything is the way it is. You want to understand why you are enslaved to this system. And keep in mind, a slave, the word slave, it could be voluntary or involuntary. It's like a hard drive that you connect to a computer, you know, or another drive. It becomes a slave. It's just a term. Don't read into the term. Just understand what it means. You're bound in surety to another. You're using another's property, and therefore you are under its law. So let's discuss, why is it, for instance, and let's use the subject at hand, why did children have to get vaccinated for, or why are they passing all these laws? Well, they're not, keep in mind, none of these laws apply to men. Okay, persons have to get vaccinated. A man is never a person. A person is a persona, a mask that you wear. It's like being the car or the shoe on the Monopoly board. You can't play Monopoly without the persona, the shoe, right? You're not the shoe. If you believe you're the shoe, then they win. So you believe that you're your identity. You're the same as, in other words, this person that you pretend to be, this commercial vessel, then they win. Then you can't tell that you're in the Matrix. You're stuck there because you don't know there's anything else. You believe you're a persona, a mask. It's like Halloween, you know, you put on a costume and you never take it off. And of course we're trained to do this from birth, through education, through the syndicalism we're talking about, through, education, entertainment, all that. So let's start at the beginning with the very, very basic, right? There are two concepts, private and public, or common, right? The maxim of law says a thing that is private is not common. What is a U.S. citizen? Common. Okay? In other words, and people aren't going to like to hear this, but if you are a member of the nation, in other words, a citizen of a nation, then you are, that is the term that means Gentile or Goyim. That literally is what it means. Because a nation is like a monopoly board that stretches out over all the actual territory, all the land. Right? You're not a state citizen. You're a U.S. citizen. A U.S. citizen exists only in Washington, D.C. Now, here's where you can understand why everything happens to you. All right? A U.S. citizen, this is Hendrick versus Maryland, 1914 case. Again, the citation's there in the chat room. A U.S. citizen, that's a national citizen, not a state citizen, upon leaving the District of Columbia becomes involved in interstate commerce as a resident, does not have the common law right of travel of a citizen of one of the several states. Now, what do you hear all the time in the quote-unquote patriot truth, whatever, the movement that never moves, right? The people who talk all the time but never get anywhere.
Right.
Right? What do you hear? Oh, well, I have the right to travel. No, actually, you don't. According to the courts, you do not, because you're not free. You're a citizen, which is the same as a denizen or someone that doesn't have the rights of the higher class, the private people. You are common. You're public. This is the difference. This is why, and we put our children into this through the birth certificate, okay, and I'll explain that. Upon leaving the District of Columbia, you become involved in interstate commerce. Now, according to the Constitution, who controls interstate commerce? If you are always in interstate commerce, wherever you are outside of the District of Columbia, which is a foreign place, it is not one of the 50 states, and when we say the several states, that means private or foreign. Every state is foreign to each other, and every state is foreign to the United States. State citizens are not United States citizens, and I'll explain why. Okay? This says you are a resident, not in domicile. So when you're in a state, you're a U.S. citizen, you're in interstate commerce, you're a foreigner, a resident in that state. This is why you are always a tenant. This is why you're a renter. You pay taxes. You do all these things because you're not part of the people. And that's important. The word state means people. When it says we the people capitalized, That's a specific group of people, and they debated in the proceedings of the Constitutional Convention, etc., whether they should say we the states or we the people, because they mean the same thing when capitalized. We are not the people of the states. We are the common people. And how do you define people when it's not capitalized, when it's not specific, when it's general? Well, another word for colony is farm or plantation. What happens when you put cows or pigs or chickens or any livestock, which is what we are, live, a living stock, right? We have a financial instrument. What happens? You people a farm. When you people a farm or a plantation or a city or a county, you're placing people there. You're placing the lower class people there, not yourselves. You're placing or you're accepting prisoners, you're accepting the poor, you're accepting immigrants, right? Because you want to extort from them. Okay, next one. U.S. versus Anthony's, 1873. All these are after the 14th Amendment. The term resident and citizen of the United States is distinguished from a citizen of one of the several states. This is not me talking. This is the court. The term resident and citizen of the United States is distinguished, completely different from a citizen, capitalized, of one of the several states. Several means private, not public, not common. In that the former, the resident and citizen of the United States, is a special class of citizen created by Congress. Who created Congress? The people. Who are, you know, what did then Congress create? A class, a status called citizenship, 14th Amendment citizenship, which we are all sold into at birth through the birth certificate process. See, we are a citizen that was created and under, therefore, Congress. But the people, the private states, they're the creator. They control. They are who Congress actually represents, the private people of the states. We are a class, a lower class, a completely bottom of the barrel class, the goyim, who were in a persona, a mask, a citizenship that was created by Congress. That is a huge distinction.
Indeed.
Did I hear music?
No. I think we just bypassed the top of the hour commercial.
Okay, that's beautiful. You know, I love that. So the importance of the birth certificate from the birth registrar website of DSHS, the Texas.gov website. Do you know the purpose of a birth certificate? Does anybody really know? Well, the Texas website actually tells you what does a birth certificate do. In shorthand, it creates a persona, a status, a mask, or, if you will, a commercial vessel for you, a shoe, a car that you can be on the Monopoly board, okay? But here's how it explains it. The legal portion of the birth certificate shows the child's name, date of birth, and parents' names, along with other things. It establishes Texas residency and U.S. citizenship. It provides a legal identity. This is a false, in other words, artificial identity, a sameness, which is a status created by Congress. A birth certificate is required for Social Security and all that stuff. Again, residency. Residency is not domicile. If you're a citizen of the U.S., your domicile is Washington, D.C. So what this does is it takes you out of Texas, out of the territory, terra meaning land. It takes you out of Texas, the state, the people. You're not one of the people. Right? It takes you out of that, throws you into this holding company, this open air prison for debtors called the United States. This jurisdiction that we're all in, these public lands that we all roam. That is the purpose of a birth certificate. It actually robs you of everything you've ever learned. All the patriotic stuff you talk about, all these rights and everything, those are taken away from you and you accept a persona, the Constitution, for instance, protects the rights of the people that they already have. The U.S. citizen, though, gives up all those rights and takes whatever they give us, okay, the power of prescription, okay? So now we know that once we leave that district, we are in interstate commerce wherever we go, all the 50 states. We're never actually private. We're always a commoner. We can't own land. We can't be a landholder. We're not sovereign. We're not any of that. All right. Because a person, a status is owned by government. It's a creation of Congress. It is not what created Congress. And the maxim of law is that the creator always controls his creation. That's from God all the way down to the patenting, right? The creator controls. Okay. So now we know what a birth certificate does. It plucks you out. It says you are not one of the people. You're not self-governing. You're not self-responsible. You don't know the law. You know nothing. You're in public education. You've been public-minded. We're going to throw you in this thing. And here's what's interesting about that, because the next one, the governments of the United States, this is Colgate versus Harvey. I don't have the year listed here. But again, the citations are the governments of the United States and each of the several states, private states, foreign states. That's what several means. The governments of the United States and each of the several states are distinct from one another. They're completely separate. In other words, the rights of a citizen under one may be quite different from those which he has under the other. The rights of a private citizen under private law of a state, in other words, quote unquote, the people, the landholders of the territory, the actual land, are quite different than what a U.S. citizen is, which all rights come from Congress, right? So these people, these private people, they're still operating under their unalienable God-given rights. Those have been taken away. We've sold those and accepted artificial rights. And that is why U.S. Code says it is your right to be put in pain, punished, taxed, licensed, extorted. All those things are your rights. Whereas for them, the Constitution protects them against that. For us, we don't have constitutional protections. And that's also listed very clearly in court cases of old. We do not have any of those rights we say we do. We're all confused. And because of this confusion, this is why our children are being subject to things, because it's not them. It's that status. It's the person. If the person is going to get benefits from government, then the person has to be vaccinated. Well, there is no person. It's a fiction. So who's responsible for them? Who's the surety? Who's in bond to that person? Who operates in that commercial vessel that we call a person or a citizen of the United States? That's you. You're the agent. You are the attorney. You're the agent for service of process. You're the one that gets all the bills and all the, right? This is why you have a federal address, right? So, right. So this is why your children are bound. And if you read, I did a thing called Do You Own Your Children? And in that I show where the court's opinion is that your children belong to it. It is the highest. Your marriage is a contract between the man, the woman, their persons, that is, which incorporate into one person in a marriage, and then the state is the highest partner in that marriage. The state decides, right? That's clearly spelled out in court cases. This is why you don't have rights. This is why you have to beg the court to be able to see your child, and why it can take your parental rights. You give up your parental rights over your children the second you sign that birth certificate and force your child to accept that identity, that mask, that commercial vessel. Right. Now, finally.
Colgate versus Harvey was 1935.
There you go. See, these are all verifiable. It's not me. The distinction, this is Justice Miller, 83 U.S. 72. This is 1889, and he is specifically treating or talking about the first clause of the 14th Amendment, quoted in United States versus Wong Kim Ark, a very important case. The distinction between citizenship of the United States and citizenship of a state, capitalized. When it's capitalized, it means you're one of the people, you're a landholder. The distinction between citizenship of the United States and citizenship of a state is clearly recognized and established. Clearly recognized and established. Maybe not for you, because you've been kept ignorant of that information. Right? You're a goyim. You gotta face it. Before you can do anything, you gotta realize how ignorant we all are. That's the clue, or that's the key to knowledge, is first admitting you're a fool. And that's what I've had to do. You don't know any, I don't know anything. I gotta learn all this. It's like starting over. Not only may a man be a citizen of the United States without being a citizen of the state, it says, But an important element, and this is where it all boils down to, but an important element is necessary to convert the former, a U.S. citizen, into the latter, a private state citizen. Okay, that's being born again, right? That's literally saying that United States citizenship, it's a test. It's where they put all of us to see if we ever come out of it, we ever learn, we ever pick up a Bible and actually read or learn the common law, the moral law. Do we ever learn what it is to be actually private? Do we ever learn self-governance? Do we ever learn the law at all? And that's what I've spent my life doing, so I now understand this. So what does it say? It says you can, because you're born in the state, you have the right to become a private citizen, give up your U.S. citizenship, the very thing that requires all these different extortions and exactions and vaccinations and everything else in order to get the benefits, all the consumer protections and all the insurance and all the use of money and the credit. Guess what? That is going to require whatever they tell you you have to get. Is it the vaccine? It's a vaccine. That's why you have to get it. You don't have to, but the person you're operating, in order for you to operate it, you are required to be vaccinated or whatever. Right? It used to be that you were required to be white. Now you can be black or white, right? So we know that we can go, we know that because we got residency in Texas, for instance, that we can actually become a private citizen of Texas, like all those landholders. In other words, become a slave master instead of a slave, or a house slave at the very best. So here's what it says. He must reside, you must have residency within the state to make him a citizen of it. What does it say above? The birth certificate establishes Texas residency and U.S. citizenship. Oh. Well, see, residency, while you're a United States citizen, residency is like the Monopoly board. If you go on that private land, you're going to pay a fee, right? There's a hotel and a house, and depending on how built up it is, you're going to have to pay more and more. You want to go to a state park? Well, that's owned by the people, right? That's not yours.
You're right.
Right. He must reside within the state to make him a citizen of it, but it is only necessary that he should be born or naturalized in the United States to be a citizen of the Union. Okay. So in other words, you're already in, you're residing in a state, but you don't have domicile there. Right. So literally the very, you know, I'm not going to tell anybody that we need to overthrow the United States. That would be treason. Right? Because we're all United States citizens. You just can't talk that way. But what they've done is they set up this test, this trial, if you will, this citizenship that says, we're going to throw you all in this big holding company. It's going to control you. It's going to protect us from you. And that's what all these municipal corporations are, these cities, these counties. That's what the police do. They protect the private people from the public people. Right, because we're savages to them. We're not a higher class. We're the lowest class possible. Right, so this is the root of all our problems. And you know what? The Bible says you got to overcome it. You don't overthrow it. You don't pick up your arms, your guns, and go. No. You overcome it with knowledge. And what I'm trying to say here, why I'm going through this, is that you want to know how to get out of all this. Stop being a U.S. citizen, right? The whole patriot mythology that we hear, and I say mythology because it doesn't apply to U.S. citizens, but the whole patriot stuff that you hear around the way, that's for private people. That is for the states. That is not for us. We don't have the right to bear arms. They do. And that means they have the right to bear their bloodline. That means they have the right to show that they are one of the people because of their heraldry. It doesn't mean pick up guns. It doesn't mean guns. It means heraldry. And I proved that extensively in my book, right? So all these things, they've put this confusion over us. They've taken us out of our natural born situation in the state as a state, private state citizen or private law, and they've put us into this giant open air prison that we call the United States,
which is
Right, right. So, and an animal, you know, what does animal mean? It means to be soulless. And that's why they call us animals. Because we are not acting as men. We're acting in person. We're acting as something we're not because we can't govern ourselves. As soon as we start doing that, as soon as we take responsibility, as soon as we realize U.S. citizenship is voluntary. It's voluntary in every way, right? You can leave it at any time you want to, right? You can, by law, and by showing that you can govern yourself under a private system and not have any of this stuff forced upon you. But if you're a United States citizen and you're not doing anything about it, you're not overcoming the trial, then you have no right to complain. You're voluntarily contracted through your use of the person, tacit consent, and you're expressly using the benefits, and therefore, you know, if you get a benefit, your protection requires subjection is the maxim there. You know, you're getting all these consumer protections, all these benefits. It's your fault. This is the unpopular message. This is all on you. You must learn the law, of nature, right? It's all in the Bible. This is why I wrote my book, because the legal system is that which is opposed to the law of nature. It's all lies. And you must overcome this. You want to protect your children. You want to pull your children out of this horrible system. You want to get out of the United Nations. You want to get out of all these different things. Well, there's your answer. You got to become private. And that which is private is never common. And commonality is exactly what a national citizen is. Now, if you call yourself a national, you can call yourself, oh, I have this status of U.S. citizenship. Doesn't matter. You're not private. And that's all that matters. In the end, if you are a person of the United States, you are subject to whatever they throw at you. And you're never going to be able to figure out. There's no remedy for you because they decide. They have prescription. They decide what your remedy is. See, and I know that's a lot to take in, but this is the story of us. We have been tricked literally into going into this legal matrix thing of international law and all the stuff that we talk about, all the stuff we patriotically talk about, the militias. Who were the militias? The people were the militias, not us. Right. Well, you know, we can't be a militia because we're subject to government. Those people were in a militia to protect their God-given, unalienable rights according to the Constitution, which protects those rights, doesn't give them. That's the big difference. They're protecting their families and their right to be private, whereas we don't have the right to be private. We don't have the right to bear our arms because our arms are the United States flag. You see,
well,
this is how everything works.
There's a recent story that demonstrates what you're talking about, where a family in Arizona, Chandler, Arizona, the Becks took their child, their 2-year-old son, Heber, to the doctor, and at the time that they took him to the doctor, he had a real high temperature. The doctor told them to take the baby to the ER, but when the family got back into the car, they took his temperature again and noticed that it had dropped significantly down to 102, which is no reason to head to the ER. He was acting normal. He was out laughing with his sisters. And so they took him home. What happened is that they were raided by the police, armed police, who kidnapped the child and 2 additional children, and they kidnapped him. And that's what happens, because they don't own those children, so the police took them, kidnapped the children, put them in an ambulance, and they've not seen their children since.
Well, you know, and I hate to tell you this, it's not their children. They gave up.
Right.
The delivery. What does delivery mean? It means abandonment. Why do you go to the delivery room? Because you're abandoning your child to the state. You're saying, I don't want to be responsible for my children. I'm giving up my parental rights.
Right. Okay, we are going to take a quick 3-minute break. We'll be right back.
Starts with you and me. It starts with you and me. We all can be heroes if we take the lead.
All righty, welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest today is Cliff Richardson. His websites are realityblogger.wordpress.com and The Corporation Nation. To download the book that he has referenced, you may visit strawmanstory.info. And it's a rather interesting this story that I mentioned before going to the break. These children were taken. Was it 3 or 4 children were taken? And we see the power that the doctor has that Clint mentioned earlier. The doctor apparently reported them, and these children will be placed into, they'll be taken by the state and put into a system. The article says that is rife with abuse. An estimated 18,000 children every single year go missing from these protective care systems. Thousands of those children are then sold into sex slavery. Okay, well, I even hate to think about this. Okay, it's horrible, but it does show the power of the state and the power that Clint referenced. Okay.
Well, gee, why can that possibly be happening? How is it possible that the one actual property that you own, and, you know, people don't like to hear that, but when I say the word property, I don't mean legal property. I mean, like, oxygen is a property of water. Like, earth is a property of God, right?
Your children are your progeny.
It's the true meaning of the word.
Yes.
Okay, so no, I don't mean legal property. I mean that.
Right.
To be clear. So the only thing you can actually call your own and what you're responsible for, you give that up. You give that up well, first of all, you have the contract of marriage, which is the combining of your, you were already given up by the birth certificate. Now you're giving up your child and you're pretty much doing it because it's custom. And hey, that's another thing that prescription is very familiar or similar to is custom. It's customary use, right? So here's what the courts say. And we've probably talked about this before, but I think it's worth understanding what we just read about the birth certificate and its purpose, that it takes you out of nature and throws you into this corporation, that corporation nation. Here's what the courts say about your right as a U.S. person, because you're not attached to the land. You're strictly on a monopoly board and you have no rights to the child that you abandoned or delivered through the birth process, the certificate process. The appellate court of Illinois, marriage is a civil contract to which there are 3 parties, the husband, the wife, and the state. Now here, state is not capitalized, and that's a colloquialism for the federal government. Okay? When it's capitalized, it means the people. Or the actual, you know, incorporation of people that are that state. Van Coten versus Van Coten, and these are all referenced on my blog. It's called Do You Own Your Children at Reality Blogger. When 2 people decide to get married, they're required to first procure a license from the state. Now, why do you have to get a license? And here the word state is capitalized because you have to get a state license. Well, that's because marriage is illegal. You don't need a license for anything. What is a license? License is permission to do something that's against the law. How can marriage possibly be against? Oh, I get it. It's because 2 persons that are property of government are going to get married and they need permission from government to do so because those persons are property of government. They're not yours. You can't just join. Now, a man and a woman can certainly be spiritually bound. But marriage as a legal franchise is the creation of a new person. It's a creation of a husband and a wife. right? It's the creation of one person out of two. And it's called an incorporation, in other words. So you need a license to do that. You need permission from the owner of those persons to make them into one person. If you have children of this marriage, they are required by the state to submit their children to certain things, such as school attendance and vaccinations. Oh, see, don't listen to Clint. This is the court's opinion because you've gone into contract. Furthermore, because remember, the marriage is a civil contract to which there are three parties, the husband, the wife, and the state. Furthermore, at some time in the future, if the couple decides the marriage is not working, they must petition the state for a divorce. Marriage is a three-party contract between the man, the woman, and the state.
Right.
You must ask the state for permission to take that one person and now make it into two again. And why that's important, and this is very important, is there's a big difference between divorce and annulment. When you divorce, guess what? The corporation is still existent, which means the state still has control over the product or the issue of that marriage, which is the child. Right, the corporate issue, the commerce between, you know, intercourse is another word for commerce, right? So there you go.
Yeah.
The state represents the public interest in the institution of marriage.
Yikes. All righty, we'll be right back. Welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest today is Clint Richardson. His websites are realityblogger.wordpress.com, 1G in blogger, realityblogger.wordpress.com, and thecorporationnation.com. And to download the book that he has referenced, you may visit strawmanstory.info. And we're talking about, well, a lot of really interesting things. It's and I've been thinking a lot about about this recently and about the incremental nature of what is happening in this country, and it is incremental. And we think and we are told that each thing that happens and each law that's put in place is a benefit. Oh, this is going to help you. This is going to be a benefit to you. When in fact, it's really enslaving people. And, I've referred to Amazon a lot of times on the program, but Amazon does something, and we all get stuff from Amazon. And, Amazon meets our need for immediate gratification, just as when they introduced credit cards back in whenever they introduced them in the 60s, people no longer save for something that they wanted. They could go out and get it and have it immediately. Wow, they could have it and then worry about paying for it later. And there was a tendency to buy more than you could really afford because you had the chance or the opportunity to pay your indebtedness off a little bit at a time. And so it changed the nature of the culture. And I think that Amazon has done the same thing. We have this immediate gratification met. We can order anything on Amazon. It used to be books. They started out just having books, just like Barnes & Noble and some of the other online venues. And then they started offering other things. And now you can buy fresh groceries delivered to your door. If it is available anywhere in the country, you can find it on Amazon. So what happens? What happens if you decide that your children are not going to be vaccinated? Or what happens if you decide that you're not going to accommodate the government in some way, that you're not going to get your yearly flu shot? Well, all they got to do is just cut off your access to food or anything else that is necessary to sustain life.
All they have to do is invoke their power of prescription. In other words, they invoke their own law, which governs your person that you're acting as. And in order to keep functioning in the society, it's no different than kicking someone off your website, right? You're turning off their mask. You're turning off their little car, and that little car can no longer, their vessel, they can no longer come to your website under that name and get benefits. That's the goal. That's the 2030 Agenda 2030 goal now. It used to be Agenda 21, right? Is to register all people just like Caesar does in the Bible. It's called taxing or registering.
Mm-hmm.
And they're doing that through the birth certificate process. And Social Security is now in just about every country. It's called the International Social Security System.
It isn't just a United States thing. Social Security is everywhere.
And that's important because that's, so when you go to a hospital, I was explaining this the other day, when you go to a hospital with an emergency room is actually required to treat everybody that comes through their doors for free. But if you come in there and it offers you, if you notice the paperwork, it says, do you want to apply for charity care? Because all hospitals are Elisa Minori corporations, which means they're ecclesiastically functionary, means they're charities. They cannot charge you unless you voluntarily say, well, yeah, my name's Clint Richardson. I'm a person of the United States. Oh, well, in that case, you're a debtor. We can go ahead and charge all this money to you. We can invoke your insurance contract. We can do all these things just because you volunteer that you're a citizen. And I say to people all the time, if a Mexican can come to this country illegally, go to the hospital, get seen for free, get all the treatment he wants, never revealing that he's a citizen of Mexico or that he's quote-unquote illegal, and get all this free care from the hospital, you're sitting there going, oh, that bastard, he's taking advantage of our – no, actually, he's doing exactly what you should do. When you go to a hospital, there's no reason you should be paying because it's a charity. But because we're so ignorant, so dumb, so dumbed down, we don't even know what an Elisa Minori Corporation is and what it's required to do. You can go to the hospital for free anytime you want to. And if you know what you're doing, you can get just as good a care as anyone else. And guess what? If they don't treat you and they don't care for you like everyone else, hey, you can sue the hell out of them. Because they're not upholding their job. They're not upholding the Hippocratic Oath. So I say to you again, if an illegal could come here, work under the table, send all their money home and still have enough to eat and go to a hospital, get service for free and get all these other it's because they know something you don't. It's not because they're bad people. It's because they understand the concept of, and they've been instructed probably by activists and lawyers, you know, that it's a charity. You see, never should you go without care. That's, you know, certain things cannot, by their very definition, be a for-profit thing. You, and healthcare is one of those things. However, what they've done is they've changed. They've said, well, it's kind of like science. You can call someone a science even though they're not practicing science, right? You can say I'm a scientist, but have not be following the scientific method. Just like a hospital can say, well, we offer healthcare, or insurance company can say, here's a healthcare insurance. Well, what is healthcare? Well, you know, how about the word cure? What does cure mean? Well, it means to put salt on meat to preserve what's already dead. Does that mean I want a cure from?
Right.
Right. So all the terms, you see, this is why words, this is why I'm people call me a wordsmith and they call me all kinds of things. I'm like, look, everything is dependent on words. The whole system is built on words. The legal system, the United States, is words on paper, nothing else. If you don't understand the law, and you don't understand the words that make up the law, and you don't understand the words that make up the Bible, you know absolutely nothing about your current situation. If you don't know the computer language that got you caught in the Matrix, you don't understand what the Matrix is then. You don't understand what the legal system is if you don't know its words. Right? That's like the wood frame of a house. I mean, it's the foundation of everything is words. And the fact that people want to just ignore that fact, and the fact that words are made up by them, not you. You don't get a choice. You don't get to define terms. They do. They prescribe what the word means, right? Their opinion counts because they control all. And you can oppose it if you want, but remember, they control opposition. So they can say, no, that's not what it means. We say what it means, not you. This is the problem because we're subject to all of this stuff Because we're acting in their person. That's all it is.
Right.
Everything boils down. So let's go back to the Lemon versus Linneman. The state represents the public interest in the institution of marriage. Well, wait a minute. How is a marriage public? Oh yeah, because we're public persons. We're not private. Right? Our marriage is public. It's, you know, the reason you don't hear about these private people is because they don't do anything in the public. They're not in the public. You're not going to find any probate cases or anything because they don't have to post it in the public. But we're public persons. Everything we do is public. So here's what it says. This public interest that the state represents, the public interest in the institution of marriage, this public interest is what allows the state to intervene in certain situations to protect the interests of members of the family. Now remember, a family is a legal term and it means a corporation. So we're all one big happy family and our God is the president and Congress. The state is like a silent partner in the family who is not active in the everyday running of the family, but becomes active and exercises its power and authority only when necessary to protect some important interest of family life. In other words, the corporation. And that's why they call the man the head of household, because he's the head of the corporation of marriage. The taking all of this into consideration, the question is no longer whether the state has an interest or place in disputes, such as the one at bar, but it becomes a question of timing and necessity. In other words, they do whatever the hell they want. And it finally says the state has a wide range of power for limiting parental freedom and authority in things affecting the child's welfare. In fact, the entire familial relationship involves the state. Now, what is this referring to? The child. What is a child? Remember, in the legal system, there is nothing alive. There's no flesh. There's nothing. There's no blood. In fact, the whole purpose is to corrupt your blood. That's attainder. And remember, the Constitution says no bill of attainder. Well, that means corruption of blood. That's why they have the right to bear their arms or their bloodlines, right? That's private. That's a private right protected by the Constitution. But a child, defined as a legal thing, a noun, a term, a form without substance, no blood, right? That's a legal term. That's property of the state. That's a person. That is not a flesh and blood little guy or girl running around. This is a status. Anytime you're reading a court case, it's talking about the property that, you know, it can't do anything to you. It can only do something to the person that you're representing. And therefore, through the person, through the agency relationship, you have to do, you know, in order to keep operating. This is what people don't understand. This is why your children are susceptible to such things, because you abandoned them and you gave them this status. You threw them into this open air prison and you have no control over what the state does. It's telling you that in these cases.
Right.
So I don't know what to tell people except it's time. It's, you know, we've had our fun. We're messes. We're absolutely uninformed, uneducated, anything important. We go to public school to become public minded. We watch TV and again, it makes us public minded, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's time to grow up. It's time to overcome. It's time to be self-responsible, self-governing. We don't need this system of law if we're self-governing under the law of God or the law of nature. We can become, we can, as it says, convert and become private, and we can even have real land. We can have that, not allodial title, but perfect title, because the state owns the title, the allodial title,
mm-hmm.
and you can get land, and it can be free and clear. Now, that doesn't mean you don't have to pay tax, because, you know, to be incorporated like this, you're still pledging allegiance to all these things, but at least it's a first step. At least it's somewhere to go outside of this, what they call probation, that is U.S. citizenship. I'm telling you, it's time to grow up. It's time to put away all this nonsense that we always talk about, all these different shows and all these, right? Once you learn your disposition, once you learn that you've been made as you've been taken out of that, the stuff we talk about that should apply to us, but somehow doesn't. Now that you see that you're plugged into this matrix, now it's time to get out. Now it's time for people to start understanding and, you know, it's time for a death certificate. What is a death certificate? A death certificate represents an execution of contract. Execution, death. When a contract comes to its end, it's fulfilled or executed. And that's what a death certificate represents. Now, usually that's because we die. And so because a person of the United States is not transferable, that's why we need a will. Because there's no blood, right? There's no actual family to pass anything to. We need a will, or it goes to probate, and the court decides, right? The state decides. So that's why we have no rights. We have no arms to bear. I can't say that that's my actual flesh and blood mother. I need a will to prove it because I'm a person of the United States. You see, this is the problem. We have no blood rights. We have no rights of God, unalienable rights. We've sold ourselves into this bondage. Right. And I'm telling you, that is the key to everything. It explains everything. It's why everything is subject. All our rights come from government, not from nature or God. They're not unalienable. We've sold ourselves into this mess. And it's time that we help each other start talking about this stuff, spreading this information, and get ourselves the hell out of this. And that's not a threat to the United States, because there's plenty of people that will never, ever become self-governing. I mean, this is going to be a very small few, but at least we who desire this illusion, this delusion that we have of freedom that we've never actually experienced, you know, maybe it's time that we actually, like I said, overcome this obstacle course, this prison, and do something about it, you know? And even if that means we get a bunch of land together and help each other, that's something, right? I can't stress this enough, because now that I understand this, now that I see the big picture, and I keep telling people, hey, you gotta be self-responsible. Nobody wants that, right? We're so comfortable in our lies. We lie to ourselves more than we lie to anybody, and half the time we don't even know we're lying to ourselves or our children. So
we need to take ourselves out of the institutions that we have previously been attached to, whether we're talking about health or whatever we're talking about. And speaking of health, the Affordable Health Care Act, Hillary Clinton attempted to get some kind of a health care bill passed when her husband was president. It didn't work. And so Obama was brought in, and he got this thing passed. And really, it just...
Boy, nothing ever works out for that bitch, does it?
No. Yes. Oh, poor female dogs that don't, you know. Oh, gosh. Yes. So we have this Affordable Health Care Act, which everybody thinks, oh, we've got to have this because then we'll have access to health care. No, you have what it gives you is the obligation to purchase insurance that you probably never would have purchased. And it forces you to buy something that you really don't need.
And it confuses you. It obfuscates the truth, which is that you're not required to provide insurance. It makes you think you are. Oh, I'm special. I'm a house slave because I have insurance, and most of the slaves don't. Well, congratulations, you jerk. I mean, you could have got it for free, but instead you're tricked into, you know, this is the nature of things. Like I said, there are certain things that should never be for profit. Money is one of those things. Money should be absolutely non-profit, and I know that sounds bizarre. That means no usury, no grocery, no greed, no nothing, right? It's kind of like manna.
Yes.
Oh, we'll talk about that.
All righty, we will be right back. All righty, welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest is Clint Richardson. And his websites are realityblogger.wordpress.com and thecorporationnation.com. And to download his book, please visit strawmanstory.info. And he's working on a new documentary, which will be it will be great because he He documents everything. He doesn't just put out his opinion. He documents everything.
Yeah, some people don't like that because it takes too long.
I love it.
It's not a 10-minute, like, brain-numbing video that, but, you know, that's, what else can you do to, and actually, you know, my goal with this documentary is I was watching Robert De Niro, in an interview about why he, banned that other vaccine documentary. And so I thought, well, how can I make this movie so that Robert De Niro has no excuse to ban it? And the answer to that is to make it completely primary, nothing of my opinion, studies, you know, all the drug commercials, what they actually say, all the drug inserts, what they actually say, what professionals, you know, how do you impress a man who will ban something because of some belief he has, even though he has an autistic son, right? And the answer is show him the vaccine insert that says vaccines cause autism, in case you didn't know. They are now saying in vaccine inserts that they do cause autism, SIDS, all kinds of different diseases, that sudden infant,
death syndrome,
right. All these things are now being reported as side effects of vaccines. So there's no more
debate.
Nobody
ever reads those inserts.
Right.
Even the doctors don't read the inserts.
Right. So how do you convince someone like that who's actively ignorant? Well, you present them with the facts, and that's what I intend to do. Let me explain something, if you don't mind, because I want you to people to know why you're getting the, either the first or the second largest cause of death in the world, which is cancer. Can't remember if it's first or second, behind heart disease. All right, let's talk about cancer. Do you remember, at the end of my documentary, I did about a half an hour on how they use aborted fetal tissue. Right, the whole purpose of Roe versus Wade has nothing to do with the right to choose, you know, pro-life, anti-life, whatever. Right, this had everything to do with creating a complete body part market for aborted fetal tissue. Why throw them in the trash when you can, you know, use them for scientific research and sell them and make profit and use them for biological research? Well, as cell substrate. So, and plus the stem cells, right? Which suddenly is acceptable.
And
cloning.
The whole thing.
Yeah. Well, so what they did, and this is something I've just recently came to understand. The final sort of, again, it's the words that confuse because you don't think about what these words mean. What they did before Roe versus Wade was they had to go to Sweden because in Sweden, abortion was legal. And in Sweden, they had something called the Wister Institute. Wister Institute,
we're at the top of the hour. We will be right back.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth. Truth.
This is Deanna, and our guest today is Clint Richardson. His websites are realityblogger.wordpress.com, thecorporationnation.com, and to download the book that he has referenced, please visit strawmanstory.info. And somebody asked in the chat room if Blue Raven USA is your YouTube channel, and I looked at it during the break, and I said, just in looking at the website, I would say no.
No, but that's one of many people that, you know, I tell people to copy and paste everything I do because it's free. I don't have any copyrights, you know, it's free. I want people to see it, you know.
Sure.
So he's one of the people that do that, and and let me make a warning here, a disclosure. You know, I've been shadow banned. Like, if you search for Reality Blogger and one of my articles, you won't get my website, but you'll get someone else who's posted it. So it's a little. You want to know what shadow banning is? If you don't know my name or my website, you're not going to find me. Pretty much, you used to be able to type in Kaffer, and you'd find me and Walter Buren. Now we're nowhere to be found. So pretty much that's what shadow banning is. Like, people that if people don't know what they're looking for, you're never going to find what you're looking for. The only saving grace is that other websites have copied, and you know, some of them like InfoWars, without giving me any credit, have copied my stuff, and fortunately the links in there or something like that. So you'll find my stories, but just not on my website. That said, the website you keep mentioning, The Corporation Nation, that is my YouTube channel, The Corporation Nation. Mm-hmm. That's where all my videos are in the past. I just started a new YouTube channel that I'm going to start doing some short videos called Red Pill Sunday School.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
That used to be my radio show. So I'm going to start doing some videos, visual things now that are shorter and to one point. So if you want to, I guess subscribe or whatever it is, to that channel, then you'll know when I start doing that, which will be pretty soon. Red Pill Sunday School is the name, but thecorporationnation.com. Again, how do you defeat somebody? You put a virus on their website. So if you go to thecorporationnation.com and click anything, there's some kind of virus that I don't know how to get rid of, and it'll redirect you to some other website and tell you whatever it tells you. And so don't go there for the moment until that's fixed, because you know you can find the same thing on my YouTube channel. All the movies that I posted there on that same name, The Corporation Nation, one word. So just a warning, because that's how they mess with you. You know, that's how they get people to, well, I'm not going to that website, you know, that kind of thing.
Sure.
So that's, I rely strictly on word of mouth and people sharing my stuff. And that's the only way I've gotten to where I'm, because giving it away free at all costs. And telling people to share it. That's the only reason I've reached people like you who've had me on, you know, to promote the stuff, which I thank you dearly after all of our shows, you know. But I wanted to talk about what they did, because at the time they didn't have aborted fetal tissue. They didn't have cell lines to grow vaccines on. And they wanted to do all this research and stuff, and God darn, they couldn't get their hands on aborted fetuses. So they had to go to Sweden to do it. And actually the recent interview with Stanley Plotkin, if you haven't seen that, it's incredible. He actually testifies as to how many aborted fetal tissue, bodies that he actually was a part of in the research, because he was under oath, which is just amazing. And he talked about the Wister Institute, which I had in my documentary.
Stanley Plotkin? P-L-O-S.
Plotkin.
Okay.
Yeah. So, so basically what they did was they took those aborted cells or, you know, any cells, and they did what's called an immortalization. They genetically modified the cells so that they would basically turn into cancer. In other words, they would continue to grow. So you had, these cell lines that, when they say that they immortalize them, in other words, they removed what's called the telomeres. Have you heard of the telomeres?
Yes.
Right. So that's what actually causes aging. The big push now is to stop aging by immortalizing the cells in your body,
right,
by clipping off that telomere, which I think is just pure evil. Pure.
Yes.
That's there for a purpose. So your cell reproduces until the point where that telomere has no more room, and then it dies. And that's the natural order of things. And it's beautiful, and it's wonderful, and it's how things should be. Right? It's the design of nature, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what they did is they said, well, how do we cause cancer? We immortalize the cells. We make them so they don't die. So they'll just keep growing. They have no purpose, no reason to exist, except that we genetically altered them and now they're cancerous. Or in other words, they grow without purpose or reason. So let me read you this. This is called How to Become Immortal, The Generation of Immortal Cell Lines. And this is from BiteSizeBio.com. How to Become Immortal, The Generation of Immortal Cell Lines. This is how it works. This is why you have cancer all throughout your body, because I want you to understand. In the vaccine inserts, it says these proteins, these cell substrates, they cannot be removed from the final project. So that it's being injected into your body. Aborted the fetal tissue, it's been immortalized, in other words, turned into cancer, it's being injected into everybody's body. Because they cannot filter out these nanoparticles, these tiny cells. And they're growing a vaccine, like flu, they're growing it on these cell substrates, so that's mixing, it's growing literally on cancer, or what they call immortal cell. And this is what I didn't realize, is that what this is? Let me read this. Normal cells are unable to replicate past several rounds of proliferation, termed the Hayflick limit. As with each round of proliferation, the telomeres shorten, right? That's what causes age. That's what causes cell death. When the telomeres reach a critically reduced length, DNA damage is triggered, leading to cellular senescence. Now, senescence is a word that is defined, it's actually from senate, and it means the state of growing old or decay by time. So natural senescence is cell death, the telomere shortening to the point where it no longer has the trigger to reproduce itself. Therefore, if you tried to culture a primary cell population for research in a petri dish, it would eventually die unless the cells were manipulated in some way to circumvent the process of senescence, old age, and become immortal. Here we discuss various ways to overcome the Hayflick limit and induce immortality in cultured cells. And here's what it says. Sources of immortality. Spontaneously immortalized cells. The best example of this would be cancer cells, which may have undergone genetic changes to resist senescence, i.e. old age, and are therefore immortal. Okay, this is what they're growing vaccine cultures on, and this is what's being injected into your body. A cell that is not just immortal, but has no trigger to stop growing. What is cancer? A cell that keeps growing. So why do you have lung cells growing in your pancreas? Right, which is metastasization or whatever it's called. Because you've been injected with cancerous, immortalized cells. You cannot get these out of the vaccines. Why is everybody dying of cancer? Why is there children coming down with cancers that they should by all means not have? Because we've infected our bodies with essentially, now keep in mind, there's no such thing as a virus. There are viral things, things that attack and alter and change and inject, you know, communicate and change programming. It's not really anything like a virus, but there are things that are viral. In other words, like you get a computer virus. What is that? It's a program that changes something. It communicates with your computer and alters the purpose and function of some program on your computer. That's not a virus. It is something that attacks. It's viral. In other words, you know, I don't know if that makes sense, but everything can become a virus, by its definition. Right? The scientists who created the first immortalized and arguably the most famous cell line, which is the HeLa cells, a lot of people have heard of those, the Mad Black Woman story, had to test hundreds of cancer lines before stumbling upon the highly metaplastic ovarian cells of Henrietta Lacks, which are the HeLa cells. Thus, other methodologies may be required to help even cancer cells become immortal. So, you know, it goes on and it explains all this stuff, and you realize that what's happening is, again, this viral material, viral protein, viral prions, all these things that are being injected because they cannot be filtered out of the vaccine. This is why they're protecting these companies. They know this. This is a known entity. It's been talked about for years. It's admitted on the CDC website. All of this is public knowledge. It's kind of like the law. It's all public. Everything you need to know why you're a slave is public, but you don't read it. So what does it matter? This is active ignorance. It's all published. If you get a vaccine and you don't look at the information, it's your fault, according to them, not me, but according to them, according to the law and the protections that these companies get. Now, so this is why we all have kids.
Now, wasn't there evidence of VSV-40? In the polio vaccine. Merck admitted it. Dr. Maurice Hilleman admitted that Merck's vaccines were contaminated and he knew that they were producing cancer in the field trials in Russia.
Here's what this article says. To introduce a viral gene, Did you know a gene could be a virus? Oh, see what I mean? There's no such thing as a virus. There's only things that are viral. Introduce a viral gene that overrides the cell cycle. In other words, take over the natural communication and origin and purpose of a cell and override it with something that reprograms it. Many viral genes affect the cell cycle and thus can be used to overcome senescence, old age, death of a cell, by removing the biological brakes on proliferative control. Many of these are tumor suppressor genes. What have they done? They've created something that prevents tumor suppressor genes. In other words, you'll get tumors. You'll get uncontrollable growths because there's nothing suppressing it. In other words, they've turned on your epigenome on or off, or they vaccinated you so you don't get that programming, and you're going to get cancer, since they require suppression for tumorigenesis to occur. Okay, the most common of these is overexpression of the large T antigen of the simian virus, or SV40, which represses the retinoblastoma, RB, and P53 genes, both critical controllers of the cell cycle. What is this telling you? What causes HIV, AIDS? Yeah, we know it, SV40. In other words, it prevents the T cells, we're all familiar with that in AIDS, from being able to communicate. So what happens is your body recognizes a virus or something viral, something that's going to harm it, and it makes a phone call. It sends out this chemical reaction, these cells, and those cells travel, or they try to travel, to the bone marrow. And the bone marrow, it's like a 911 call, right? A cell phone call between cells. And then the bone marrow reacts and sends out these killer helper cells or T cells or B cells. And those things come in and then they start, because the healthy cells have made a phone call, an emergency call, right? But if you suppress these P53 genes, if you suppress the tumor suppressin aspect of the epigenome or the receptors on these things, then the T cells have nothing to do. There's no way for the cell that's being virally infected to send out a distress call, because you've taken away the signaling ability of cells to call for help. This is why people with AIDS have low T cells, because your body no longer is communicating with its bone marrow, which is where your immune system pretty much lies, and the bone marrow is no longer sending out T cells, so you have none in your body. This is caused, what does it say? The most common of these tumor suppression genes that are viral is the overexpression of large T antigen of the simian virus 40. This is what they were using in all the vaccines. This is known, this is public knowledge, not my opinion. Right? They call it a cancer virus. But again, this is something foreign in your body that's attacking and reorganizing and reassigning cells to do something. That's what the concept of virus does. One example of a cell line immortalized with SV40 is HEK293. You know, they've got so many of these that they're numbered and lettered, which are also known as T93 T cells. A cell line widely used to express viral particles and for many cellular assays, since they are very easily transfected. Other viral genes include the human papilloma virus, such as E6 and E7, which also, so there's, you know, you
that
you
they
mentioned,
want all these children,
right?
Little grade school children to get vaccinated with this stuff.
Right, so Robert De Niro, I know you're not listening, but this is what happened to your child. This is what happened to everybody's child. And you know what? I should start a campaign. Hey, Robert De Niro, watch my movie.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, because this is heartbreakingly, it's so clear what's happening. They know it's happening. It's all these scientific papers talk about it, and I've gone through hundreds. Literally, trying to figure all this out. When they immortalize a cell line, they're creating a cancerous, essentially, not cancer per se, but a cancerous cell line, one that keeps, you know, and then it's injected into you. That's why we all have cancer, because it's a mutation. It's something foreign, and it's mutant, and it's being injected right into your body, and then it goes and it reprograms, or it suppresses tumor receptor cells, or whatever it does, it binds in some way and delivers its cargo, its information, and you're screwed. This is why we're all sick. And you know, honestly, we know that the pharmaceutical companies and the medical industry, therefore, are responsible, I say, according to all of this, they're responsible for all disease of the modern era. Whether it's the dementias, we CDC warns that these things can cause, Alzheimer's is a prional disease because your prions are getting reorganized. All these, Parkinson's, all these things. My reason for doing this documentary is to say, look, there's only one thing we can do right now, and that is to reel in this whole industry, take all the money they've earned, all these asses that have made billions, from their pharmaceutical companies, startup companies, because that's where the money is, like you said, and like you've just showed. Take all that back. Take these things, and their sole purpose now, after knowing that they've caused all this disease, should be to take us all and fix us. To take us all, I don't care, a non-profit, all that money comes back into the system to correct all this. Basically, we've been used as guinea pigs to figure out all this stuff. That's my opinion. That's what I think should happen. That's what I'm calling for at the end of this documentary, is that all these people have made so much money off disease, all these companies that are, you know, just raking in this money that you've talked about, right? 300-something thousand percent profits.
Right.
They need to pay. They need to have that taken from them. They're just persons. They're corporations, right? That needs to be taken back, put into a fund to fix all the crap they've done to us. That's my opinion. That's just, you know, well, that's probably a pipe dream, of course. But at least I can tell you, at least now you know what's happened. You know why everybody you know is getting cancer and dying or has all these different ashes, because they tell you right on these drug commercials that this is going to cause, it may cause cancer, it may cause depression, it may cause suicidal thoughts, it may cause, right, everything. It may cause your car to break down, it may cause everything, right? It's just amazing what they tell you is going to happen to you, and you just, you know, people are just ignoring it. Well, I'm telling you right now, they have known what they were doing, and they've been using you all as guinea pigs.
Indeed. Oh gosh. Okay. We will be right back.
Starts with you and me. It starts with you and me. We all can be heroes if we take the lead to change the bad to good. To
welcome back. This is Deanna. And our guest today is Clint Richardson. And I'm just overwhelmed by what you've shared.
I always bring good news.
Yes, you do. It is just amazing. I'm going to put in the chat room what you have just given us about the telomeres.
How to become immortal?
Ah, yes.
Oh
gosh.
I'm starting to think too that, you know, they call these cloned cells, and I'm starting to think that a clone is actually just a walking tumor that's somehow controlled. That's really what a clone is, you know?
Yes. Okay, there it is. Oh gosh. I wonder, and I have wondered, and I've attributed it to vaccines, why all of these children, infants, are getting cancer when years, 50 years ago, old people got cancer. Infants didn't get cancer.
In 1900, there were no cases of cancer except in cattle that were vaccinated. That's what a doctor said back then.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I mean, it's because, early onset Alzheimer's, early onset this, early onset that. Well, you've just heard. Here's another quote from this. The issue with using telomeres to reverse aging is that increased telomerase expression can also induce tumor growth. Indeed, many of the same genes used to create immortalized cell lines, such as HTERT and SV40, induce tumor formation. Thus, it is unsurprising that HTERT, is often found overexpressed in human tumors, thus imparting one of the key hallmarks of cancer, unrestrained proliferation or growth. Exactly what we use it for when immortalizing a primary cell line. Where is childhood cancer coming from? They just told you. From their cell lines, which they've immortalized so that they can reuse over and over the same cells. I'm telling you, they still use the aborted fetal tissue cells. They still use those from the 1960s. They're still alive. They're cloned over and over and over. They're immortalized. Think about that for a moment. Think about it. And they still use SV40 for a lot of things, even though they know it causes cancer. Right? So, I don't know what to tell you. This is what I'm describing is the heart of evil right now. This is absolute, and I don't know what to call it. It's a complete lack of empathy. It's a complete lack of care. You know, it's the agentic relationship. I'm a scientist. I'm paid to do a certain thing, and therefore I'm going to do it. Well, yeah, you're causing all this cancer, this disease, because you're paid to do it. You don't care what your result, and you're so compartmentalized that you don't know you're building the atomic bomb. You and 100 others that are working on the same thing. Your goal is just to put some things in a petri dish and see what happens. Right? I mean, I am so disturbed, and you should be too, but after reading all of this, I am boiling at the seams right now to explain this to people. That's why I'm going to do it in the film, because I cannot believe my eyes. What I just read, I can hardly believe I'm reading it, and yet there it is. They're explaining the absolute foundation of all this disease, all this childhood cancer, it's right there. What are you going to do about it? All of you? Probably nothing. That's the most disturbing part of it all. That's what I want to change.
Let me read something. The American Journal of Medicine reported that many studies show the evidence of SV40 from the polio vaccine in brain tumors, bone cancers, malignant mesothelioma, and other cancers. The FDA, given the controversy, alerted drug companies that they would not approve of potentially SV40 contaminated polio vaccines after June 30th, 1961. However, the FDA allowed the drug companies to sell their vaccines for 2 years after the June date to save them from financial loss on millions of doses. Some vaccine makers added rabbit anti-SV40 antibodies to their viral cultures to counteract the simian virus that may not even be effective in eradicating the SV40. The FDA did not ascertain whether the drug companies actually destroyed their adulterated stocks. The CDC conceded that about 10 to 30 million Americans received the contaminated IPV.
But you can trust us. We're the government.
Yes, we'll be right back.
Starts with you and me. It starts with you and me. We all can be heroes if we take the lead to change the bad to good, to live in harmony.
Alrighty, welcome back. Our guest today is Clint Richardson, and his websites are realityblogger.wordpress.com, thecorporationnation.com. Beware, there might be a virus, so beware of that. To download the book that he has referenced, please visit strawmanstory.info. And please support him in whatever way you possibly can, financially or whatever, however you wish to support him, so that he can continue to create the documentary that he is working on, where he is going to share all of the information that he has given to you today.
I hope I didn't just make myself a target.
I'm sorry. No, you know, the people that, I don't think you're a target, they would have gotten you before.
Maybe. Hey, that's my dog, sorry.
I figured that was your dog.
It wasn't me.
Oh gosh, this is so disturbing.
Yeah, and you know, I'm sorry. I don't, you know, the truth is oftentimes very difficult to stomach, but this has got to be talked about. I mean, it's got to be.
I know.
It's got to be known that this has happened, you know, and that it's all legal. There's nothing illegal about it. That's the most important part, because you're in the legal system. This is not the moral law. This is not the spiritual law. This is the law of artificial persons, corporations, right? This is what you have to know. This is why we're in such trouble, because we respect these corporations, these artificial persons, these flattering titles, doctors, scientists, even though nothing about what they're doing is scientific. In fact, it's quite the opposite, because science is the study of nature, right? The beauty and wonder and design of nature, but they're not studying it to love it and to protect it and to be in husbandry with it. They're studying it to change it, to alter it, to control it, which they'll never do, because all they can do is basically what they're doing, which is cause disease, cancer, because they're trying to perfect perfection. They're trying to do something that's unnatural in a natural setting, and it's just never going to work. And they're going to keep trying, and it's going to get worse and worse and worse unless this understanding gets out there. And that's why I'm like, I'm tripping, man. I'm just, again, I'm as flabbergasted as you feel right now. And I've been reading all these different studies, so it's just, I mean, it's mind-numbingly crazy to understand this. You know?
I wrote a lot about the medical industry in my book, Screening Sandy Hook. It really wasn't about, literally about, it referred to Sandy Hook, but it really was a book about the medical industry. And one thing that you and I have talked about before is 50 U.S. Code 1520A, which talks about the government's ability or use of human subjects for testing of chemical and or biological agents. I'm just sick about all this. And I'm, you know, we all have people in our family who have been affected by these things.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, I had cancer at 17. This is what started me on this journey to find out why I had cancer, and it led me to the vaccines and making that documentary. Now I completely, you know, understand, okay, this is what has happened to me. We've all been vaccine damaged. We've all been infected, or the proper term is inoculated. We've all been harmed or inoculated. We've all been diseased through inoculation. I mean, that's the, for God's sake, the definition of the word, right? I mean, it doesn't get much more self-evident than just the word alone. Inoculation represents harm, disease, dysfunction, right? I mean, what do you say to that?
Exactly. Wow. Well, let's open the phone lines. We've got a few minutes. And of course the phone number here is 800-313-9443. And not everyone is going to get, I see these ads on TV. What is the company, the hospital, that says, that is doing research for cancer for all these children, and they show,
Janet,
yeah, and they show all these sweet little children, and I think, what the heck is going on?
Do a search when you're looking at patents. Do a search for St. Jude, and you're gonna find is that those wonderful scientists that are doing so much good for children are actually just using them as guinea pigs and test subjects so that they can patent new disease. In other words, they can alter nature to a point where it's no longer of God, of nature. It's not part of creation anymore. It's now a novel or new thing, and they can patent it. And you're going to notice in all these drug commercials, every single one of them will say something like, Xarelto is a new drug, right? That means novel or it's a different kind of drug. In other words, they created a new chemical combination or a combination of past drugs. And because it's novel, because it's not like anything else that's been produced, they can patent it and charge whatever the hell they want to. That's all it means. That's all they mean when they say that. Oh, we're a different kind of drug. You know, you've been damaged. They'll even tell you, you're damaged or your cells are damaged and cancerous because of cancer treatment, because of chemotherapy, because of radiation. Take our drug because it's different than those. It'll help with the symptoms you've already got, and it may cause you 20,000 other symptoms, but hey, you know, you'll live 2 months longer.
Yes.
So, I mean, it's ridiculous.
On the schedule page, because of a situation with myself, and because of circumstances within my family, I have taken a different route as far as healthcare, and so I've posted a lot of things on my schedule page relevant to what I have been doing, because I believe that the body has the ability to cure itself. I believe that we were created with all the neurotransmitters, all of the wherewithal, we are electrochemical beings. And years ago, thousands of years, we knew that we could cure ourselves of our diseases simply by using our mind, not going out to some external entity to have health and to enjoy health. So I have taken a different route, and it's because of the situation within my own family and with myself. And I am flabbergasted at your research. I so appreciate and respect you for being who you are, for having the courage to do what you're doing, to put your life on the line, to make yourself a target by doing what you're doing. And I hope that people will respond and support your efforts and do what they can to promote your video when it is ultimately finished. And knowing you, you're probably going to have it finished. So when do you think you'll have it finished?
No idea. I'm working on three different things. You know, it'll be done when it's done. I got so much to go through, and I'm kind of in the beginning stages, so it'll be a while.
It'll be a while, but meanwhile,
but I do appreciate the sentiment.
I don't know what else to say. I love you for your work.
And for
all the work that you've done. Everything that you have done has been such an eye-opener for so many people. And I love your courage.
Are you trying to make me cry?
No. But
I love you too, and I know that your audience, one of the few people out there, I think, whose audience understands your own sacrifices and disposition. And there's not a lot of people like you out there. Not a lot of people like us out there. Everybody's trying to make a profit and, you know, sell whatever it is they're doing. And really, I mean, this is turning into a life or death struggle, a spiritual war that can't even be put into words at this point. It's truly the defeat of everything real and natural. And I think you understand that. And I think, you know, anybody who does understand that, I would hope, is willing to give up all these creature comforts and things to do this. You know, am I special? I hope not. I hope that's how everybody feels, but you know, that, or at least a lot of us, because it's a war. This is not a declaration of war. This is like a war that we haven't realized is being waged on us for many, many decades, and our children and our grandparents, and it's all, you know, we're finally able to define it. Now that we've defined it, the question is, will people start doing something, acting on it, researching for themselves, whatever?
Right.
And you know, you're one of the few platforms I think left out there that really, truly, you know, and RBN in general, it truly actually is willing to speak of such things. You know, I know the audience right now understands what I'm saying.
Exactly. And our producer, who's always wonderful, says it is a spiritual war. We do have a caller, Sebastian in Sweden. So, welcome.
Yes, hello.
Yes, welcome.
Oh, thank you. I would like to ask a question about the hour before. I didn't get the whole program, but it's about the citizenship.
Mm-hmm.
Is it if you're not an American citizen, like I became a naturalized Swedish citizen in 1975. So my American citizenship was revoked because at that time you couldn't have dual citizenship.
Sure.
So that means I'm not an American citizen on paper. So if I could just go back to Virginia, for example, and just live there and say, hey, I want to be a, you know, I've been trying to read you. It's pretty heavy reading your, book, I guess, about the citizenship.
Yeah, it's meant to be a reference book and teach the legal aspect and language, but, and the Bible. But, like I said, well, when people go to different places or expatriate or do this, you know, there are several ways to leave a nation, and that's one of them is to expatriate, which it sounds like what you did. In other words, you took your allegiance from the United States and you pledged it to some other nation is basically what you did. You just put yourself in the same exact situation as you were here. You just put yourself into that situation in a new state, if you will, a new district. The question is, can you come back, right? And the answer I would give to you is, because you're talking about the national government, you'd have to come back as a national. If you came back as a national citizen, you'd have to re-pledge your allegiance, your subjection, your servitude to the corporate body, you know, the Washington D.C. What I don't know is whether you can come into the state itself, the land, the territory, the private, and because the private people are still in allegiance to what's called the Union, In other words, the legitimate Congress, the legitimate Congress as opposed to the illegitimate Congress, which is the United States, where they're employees. They made themselves employees and gave themselves a salary and a benefit, whereas as actual statesmen, they are representatives, right? And they don't get paid for that necessarily. Just like the militia isn't paid. So you're talking about two completely different realms. I'm not real sure what you, so in your case, you'd have to do, I think it's laid out in the U.S. code, as far as the national aspect, but I don't know about the private aspect. The fact that you were born here though, I think, is if you will, a benefit. It's such a muddy, you know, area, and you're not gonna really, I don't think anybody's gonna really understand it who's in the public. You know, it would be like a zoo animal trying to understand his keeper. You know, we can't access all these private things because we're public. We don't have access. We don't have the right to. We're subjects. So this is I'm only expressing what I've learned, what I understand, why we're in this predicament, and it's a path that I intend to follow, but I haven't been able to quite go, you know, figure it out quite yet. So this is what I've learned. So, you know, I unfortunately can't answer your question.
You can also listen to Sebastian, you can listen to the first and second hour in the archives also.
Yeah, okay, I think I'll do that. And by the way, I took the sugar cube in the 50s, grade school.
Both the Sabin and Salk, so yes. They both argued against each other and blamed each other for the polio polio and cancer outbreaks that happened. On the record in court, they actually blamed each other for the negative side effects, you know, which were polio and other things. And by the way, in England, they recognize, they don't call it the same thing in England. They call it some kind of encephalopathy, but in England, what we call chronic fatigue syndrome is actually, in England, the dumbed down or the lesser, polio. It's polio, or what we call polio, but it's called chronic fatigue syndrome. So, and I know it's in my documentary, but I can't remember what it was called. So a lot of things like that, the paralytic polio seems to be caused a lot by some of these, you know, vaccines. And then the side effect of the vaccine was this sort of, alternative or less non-paralytic polio or chronic fatigue syndrome or some kind of myelitis. I can't remember.
Wow.
Okay. Right, well, thank you. Thank you, Deanna.
Thank you, Sebastian. Take care. Somebody in the chat room mentioned your dog, and not only are they going after your children, they are also going after your animals. Animals used to be taken to the vet if they were hit by a car or if they had some other kind of an accident. Now, your dog, your cat, all of your pets are vaccinated, and those vaccines contain ingredients, they contain things that are going to make your dog become diabetic, have cancer, and all the other so-called human diseases that humanity suffers from.
Sure. I recommend highly the work and studies and writings of, I'm sure you've heard of Patricia Jordan.
Oh, absolutely. I've had her on my program.
Yeah, I believe she's out of, what is it, Australia maybe, or is it New Zealand? She lays it down like you wouldn't believe, and she's got a book and stuff. And so if you've had her on, then you know.
Yes.
The problem is pet vaccines they don't have the same standards. So a lot of the stuff we're talking about, it's good to look at pet vaccines because then you really get the nitty gritty of what's happening in our vaccines, but they pretend like it's, you know, more sanitary look at pet vaccines. Look at all these pets with all these diseases and cancers and everything. And I mean, why don't you think that the same thing's going to happen to you and your family? I mean, if you have a tumor that happens right at the injection site, and that's another thing that I want to be clear about. When they say, what they call the common reactions or the mild reactions, which are redness and swelling at the injection site, joint pain, and something else that they always say about every vaccine. They say, oh, these are the common side effects, as if they're not anything to worry about. Well, think about it, man. If your whole entire body aches, your joints are going, you know, are angry because you've just injected something in your body, that is a global systematic reaction to some poison you've just put in your body. Okay, that's not a flu virus that's doing that. That's the additives, the chemicals, the adjuvants, the metals that you're injecting into your body. And what happens ultimately is that, and I proved this. This was in my first documentary, but I've really come to understand it now. Is that the reason for a lot of these diseases is because your body, it gets something that's similar to your own blood or your own squalene or your own whatever it is, and it starts attacking your own body because your body is, because you're getting an animal version, a foreign version of the same thing that you produce, is so similar that your body produces antibodies to fight the foreign infection of something that's just like what you produce, and then it sees what you're producing and it says, oh crap, we gotta fight that too. So now you have antibodies against your own production of things. And you were talking about this earlier, that the body naturally produces minerals and vitamins and all these things if it has the right fuel. But what happens when you inject something into you that actually prevents your body from making the things that would help you and exactly. cure your diseases? That's the problem we're facing. We have a bunch of contaminants and viral materials that prevent communication, prevent receptors and all that stuff, and that's our problem. You know, this is a case where our helper cells and our protective cells and our tumor suppressive cells are being, as they said in this document very clearly, they're being harmed. They're interferon is another one. Interferon, they called it that because it interferes with disease. They couldn't get disease into these animals, and there was some agent, something was happening, and so they called it interferon. And their goal was to get rid of interferon because interferon would cure people of things like AIDS and stuff like that, which is why they started injecting interferon, because they destroyed the body's ability to produce it. This is insanity.
Yes. Well, 95% of all diseases are caused by stress, and that stress includes vaccines, chemicals, GMO foods, emotional stress. 95%. That's a lot. 95% of all the diseases.
What is the cause of stress? All stress is unnatural.
Yes.
That's what it is. You're not in touch, you know, you're not walking in the grass. You're not in husbandry to the land and loving the land and being part of the earth or part of God, if you will. You're actually doing everything you can, or they're doing everything you can to keep you from that. So all your stress is caused from artificial things, whether it's money, debt, law, you know, driving, right? It's because you're completely detached from nature. So all stress, in my opinion, comes from a disconnect from your source.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
That's pretty easy to fix when you think about it.
Wow. Well, you've presented some amazing things, and I appreciate and love you. You're just, I just can't say enough.
Well.
Thank you. Thank you.
Welcome to the war, my friends. I love you too.
So thank you for being on the program. I hope to see you soon. And, whatever I can do to help you, I'm perfectly willing to do, and I'm sure that a lot of people feel the same. Thank you so much.
All right. Take care, guys.
Bye-bye. Thank you, listeners.